doing this little series on the basics. And if you there it is. So if you've been here, you recognize that little graphic. If you haven't been here, that may be new to you. What we've been talking about is basically the foundational things that all believers should have actively going on in our lives, call them the basics. And they're not basics. I've said this before. They're not basics in the sense of building blocks or just like elementary stuff. They're basics in the sense that they're foundational, meaning that we all should be doing these things to some degree. Each one of these things should be part. And there's others that aren't on this list, certainly. But these are the ones that we want to focus on in this little series that we're going to be doing. And you can see them up there. Today, we're going to be focusing on number three there, and that's study. And I'm just going to see if that'll just stay up there like that for this morning. We're going to talk about studying or Scripture. Both can be that S, that first S. And you remember a couple weeks ago, we read a little passage in Acts chapter 2, and I gave a little background about what was going on in Acts chapter 2. That was just when the church was being formed. It was right at the beginning of the church, and Peter, the apostle, gets up and preaches this great sermon right at the very end of his sermon. All the people that heard it were just like, well, I want that. How do I get that? How do we get saved? And so they got saved and they got baptized and they were added to the church. So 3,000 people got added to the church that day. And then they said, now what? Now what do we do? Okay, now that we're in the kingdom, now we're part of the church, what do we do now? And so then there's a little list in the end of Acts chapter 2 of the first believers right after they got saved. These are the things they started to be a part of. And many of these are on that same list. The first thing on that list in Acts chapter 2, you can go and look it up later, is it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, the apostles' teaching. You'll notice that it doesn't say they devoted themselves to the reading of Scripture. You'll notice that it doesn't say they devoted themselves to reading their Bible. It doesn't say that. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, why do you think there's no mention of them reading Scripture? Do you think that if it's the basic thing, if all the believers were going to do this, this is the first thing they were going to do, you think that they would mention they would be reading the Scriptures, right? That would be a logical thing, but it never mentions that. It says they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. Why is that? Why does it not mention that? And why this morning am I connecting the apostles' teaching to the study of Scripture, which is our topic today? Well, there's a really simple, basic explanation for that, and I'm sure you guys have already figured it out. You're pretty smart people. But here it is, just so we're on the same page. Here it is. First of all, at the time of Acts chapter 2, when that passage was written, the Scripture was not yet complete. Okay, the Old Testament had been written, but none of the New Testament had been written yet. So none of the life of Jesus, none of the book of Acts, none of the epistles, none of the letters, none of that stuff had been written down yet. Only the Old Testament was complete. So so that's the first reason. They didn't have access to the whole thing. But even what was written down, the Old Testament, wasn't accessible to the public. I mean, they couldn't just, you know, go down to the local Christian bookstore and pick up a copy of the Bible and start reading it. It just wasn't accessible to people. And you guys know that. The only copies, in fact, that existed of the Scriptures were kept in public places of worship, like the temple and like the synagogues where the Jews would go to worship. There wasn't just copies everywhere like there is now. Now, even if a person did happen to get a hold of the copy, there's a good chance that they may not even be able to read that copy, because maybe they couldn't read it all, which wouldn't have been surprising in that period of time. But also, even if they could read, they may not be able to read it in the language that it was written in. It was written in primarily either in Hebrew or Greek. There was a Greek copy of the Old Testament scriptures called the Septuagint. It had been, but that wasn't even common at this day. So all those factors, you put them all together, and these brand new believers, right? They come in to know Jesus, and they wanna grow. They wanna learn about who God is and about who Jesus is and all these types of things. So the only way that they could do that in this time was to sit under the teaching of the apostles, okay? So if they wanted to grow and if they wanted to learn about who God was, that was what they had to do. So Peter and James and John and all the rest of those guys, those original apostles, when it mentions the apostles here, it is talking about specific people, not talking about the general gift of being apostles, talking about specific people. So those 12 men that were with Jesus, it's talking about those guys. So they would sit under their teaching. These guys were the first pastors in the early church. They were the first preachers. And so that's what was going on. Now today, fast forward, right? Today, things are a little bit different. Yeah? Would you say they are a little bit different? We have instant access to the scriptures. I mean, instant access. We can read it in dozens of English translations, right? You pick your favorite. And I remember when I was in seminary and I took this class on how we got the Bible in English. And great, it was this guy. It was like, in fact, this was the last time I ever taught before he retired. Just this amazing guy. He was just a wealth of knowledge. He'd been teaching this class for 100 years, right? I mean, he just knew everything. And he'd go like, how do we get the Bible in English? And, you know, very learned, knew all the languages and everything. And he got down to one point in the class, and he goes, I'll tell you guys what my favorite English translation is. And you're thinking, okay, here's this guy. He's studied his whole life. He's probably going to say, you know, it's like the King James Version or, you know, like New American Standard, some like deep theological. But you know what he said? He goes, here's my favorite English translation. He goes, it's the one that somebody can understand. He goes, that's what it is, right? And I just like, that was maybe the best thing I heard in seminary right there in 4 years. Like, and that's so, it's so true. It's like if King James is what is in your heart to read, read it. If New American Standard, if NIV, find a version of the Bible, there's dozens of them that you can understand and read and apply and then do it, right? Okay, so we live in quite an amazing period of time. We have access to all these scripture in all these different languages, you know, not just English, but worldwide, all these different kinds of languages. And they're growing every day. Mark and Shelby, you're going to go invent one pretty soon. And we're thankful for that. I would say that every single one of us here today has at least one copy of the Bible, and in a lot of cases, probably in most cases, we have multiple copies of the scriptures. But not only that, I took my phone out of my pocket, but not only that, if you have a smartphone and you have the Bible app on your phone, you have instant access to, I don't know how many versions of the Bible, and we carry it around with us. Not only all of that, we can come to church, and we can hear a pastor preach a sermon. We can turn on a sermon on the radio or a podcast. We can read a good book. We can go to a Bible study. We are inundated. We're saturated with the scriptures in our culture today. What a privileged place and time that we live in, that we have access, free access and freedom to read the scriptures. This has not always been the case. You guys, if you know anything about history, you know that's not always been the case. And it's not the case even in our world today in some places. What a privileged place and time that we live in. So the question today that we want to talk about is this, okay? And let me just give this little disclaimer right now. I may step on your toes today, all right? And I don't apologize for it. I think this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to press in a little bit. By the way, this whole list of things, it is not just a list for list's sake. Okay, this is not just another legalistic list I'm going to throw at you guys. We got to do this because we're Christians. This is what we're talking about. We do these things because we want it to be in our heart. We want it to be devoted to it because we want to do these things. And today, reading and studying the Scripture is no exception. We want to be in it. We want to do it because we want to. We want to get to know God more. So if you feel like I'm pushing a little bit today, pressing in on you a little bit today, good. Don't fight it. Let the Holy Spirit have His way in your heart today, and hopefully it's not me. Hopefully it's Him speaking through me. So the question for us today is this: not do we have access to the Scriptures? Obviously we do. None of us will deny that we do. The question for us today is, do we take advantage of the access that we have, the Scriptures? Do we spend time daily, regularly reading God's Word? Do we take time to put ourselves under the teaching of the Holy Spirit and other gifted teachers? As we're going to see in a minute, studying the Scriptures is not just about reading this book itself. It's also about listening to other people teach on it. Do we take advantage of that? These are the questions that I want to talk about as we go along today. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to talk about the importance of studying Scripture. And if you know anything about me, you know that these things are all part of my heart. I love these. Something about the Scripture that has got a really special place in my heart. I lived my Christian life, many years, and I pretty much ignored this book. Like, I don't know why. I had a hard time reading it. And many years as a pastor, I struggled with consistently reading the Scripture. And then several years ago, something changed. The Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and He said, "You gotta get in that book." And my life was changed. It's become different since then. So I got a special place in my heart for the Scriptures, so I hope that I can share that a little bit with you as we go along today. But I assume that everyone, I know, you know, it's not always good to assume, but I'm going to make an assumption today that everyone here, every single one of us that are here today, and that, there's some empty seats here today, okay? But listen, I think that every one of us, to one degree or another, that are sitting here right now, wants to grow spiritually, okay? Every single one of us, I think, to some degree, we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We want to grow spiritually. I mean, why else would you be here, to be honest? Why else would you be here? You could be, there's a lot of things you could be doing. You could be sleeping in. You could be having a nice brunch. You could be playing golf. You could be watching golf, right? You could be at the beach. I mean, there's dozens of things. You could be getting some yard work done. You could be getting a little overtime in, maybe a little bit extra work, a little bit extra money, but you're not doing any of those things. You're here instead. So that makes me think that there's at least part of you that wants to grow spiritually. And not only that, you think that this place, this building, this place, this group of people together as we come together can be a place where you can grow spiritually. So not only do you want it, you think that this specific place is a place where you can get that and grow. And I really hope that it is. I really do. If we don't do anything else as a church except encourage one another to grow in the Lord, then that's enough for me. And I really hope this is one of those places where we come and we practice these things together. Now, with that said, I believe that the Scriptures are one of the primary gifts that the Lord has given us in order for us to grow spiritually. Okay? One of the primary ways that we grow spiritually is through the Scriptures. It is His living Word. Now, if you've been a believer for any length of time, if you've read through the Bible, I know what this has happened to you, what I'm going to describe right now. I know it's happened to you. So you're reading through, let's say you're reading through the Gospel of John. Just turn to it. And you've read through the Gospel of John before. You're a Christian. You've done it. You know, you've been a Christian. You've read the Bible a bunch of times, and especially John, because a lot of good stuff in there, and you've heard sermons on it, and you've went to Bible studies about it, and so you've been through the Gospel of John, and you're reading, and then one day you come to a verse in the middle of the Gospel of John, and all of a sudden you go, I'm not sure I've ever read that verse before. Has that ever been in the Bible except before today? Like, has that ever happened to you? Why is that? Why does that happen? And I see you guys laughing and shaking your head. It's happened to you. It happens to me all the time. And I'll tell you the reason why, at least partly, why that happens is because this is the living Word of God. It's like our old friend John Steinbeck we talked about. It's not like just words on a page. It's not like a novel. It's not like any other book. It's living, and it's alive, and it's active. And so when we read it, and because we have the author right here inside of us, and he's helping us interpret it, that's why you come across the verse, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's awesome verse. Why haven't I never read that verse before? Well, it's always been there. It's just because at this specific point in your life, the Holy Spirit said, that's the one you need for today. And all of a sudden, it comes alive in our lives. And if that's not happened to you, keep reading. It's going to happen. Promise that it will. The Scriptures is alive. And the first thing we need to understand and truly believe is that God's Word testifies to this fact. Probably the most famous verse that testifies to this is the verse I have up here. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And if you don't know it, let me read it. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. And then it gives the purpose. So that the people of God may be equipped for every good work. The Scripture is breathed out by God. The Scripture has absolute authority over our lives because it is the very words of God. It's alive. It's come from the breath of God. You know that word right there? Breathed out. Inspired. It's the same word. The word breath is the same word as the word spirit. It means that when the Scriptures were inspired, it comes to us directly from the Spirit. And you tell you what, not only did it come directly from the Spirit to get it written down, but it's still coming from the Spirit to help us interpret it and love it and read it and understand it. Why would God give us a book and complete it and then just abandon it? He doesn't do that. He gives us the book and He completes it, and now it's still alive. Every time we open up its pages, it's powerful. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, no prophecy of Scripture comes from a prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You ever wonder how we got the Bible? That verse just told us how we got the Bible. People, men, were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. They used their personalities, sure. They used their own sort of spin on things, yes. But then they wrote it what the Holy Spirit told them to write down. Every word that the Scriptures came from the Holy Spirit. Now listen, there's so much more that we could say about the process of how we got the Bible. That's not what I want to focus on today. That's a fun study. Maybe we'll do a Bible study on that. Someday, I think that'd be a great class. But just for now, let me just say this, and you guys hopefully agree with me on this, is that we need to believe that God thought it was so important to give us a message that he wrote it all down. He wrote the message that he wanted all down for us, and then he gave it to us, and he preserved it, and he kept it. No matter what language it's translated into, he's kept it, and he's preserved it, and he's given it to us. All these years later, we have it complete, and this is God's message to us. Now, listen, of all the infinite wisdom of God, right, of all the universe, all the wisdom cannot be contained in this one book. It just cannot be. You guys will agree with that. Yet, God specifically wrote this stuff right here and gave it to us. So this is probably pretty important, right? Of all the things that in the universe God could have said to us, this is what he said to us. We got to believe that. Got to believe it. It's what he wants us to know and how to grow and how to live. Spiritual growth is a major theme in the New Testament. Sometimes that word spiritual growth is actually used, it's called transformation. Okay, it's called transformation. There's a couple of passages that specifically use the word transformation or transformed, meaning spiritual growth. Let me just read a couple of verses for us. In fact, that word transformed, it's actually in its verb form. It means it's bringing about a change in us. When we connect and interact and experience God, a spiritual change will occur in our lives. We will be transformed. We will change from one thing to another. In 2 Corinthians, for instance, chapter 3, verse 18, we read this: "We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is the Lord who is a spirit." Well, according to that verse, what's going on in our lives? We are being transformed, changed into the image of Jesus. How is this happening? Well, the agent of change in this verse is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives, and he's transforming us into the image of Jesus. Now, keep that in mind. And there's another verse I want to tie this all up together. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God." And in this verse, we see that the emphasis on this transformation is on the renewing of our mind. So how are we transformed into the image of Jesus? What means does the Holy Spirit use to transform us into the image of Jesus? Well, he uses something to transform our minds into the image of Jesus. And I can't think of a better way for God to do that than through the Scriptures. Now, I know that God can act directly in our lives. I believe it. I've experienced it. He can... And all the other devotions that are up on this list, he can use those as well. But one of the ways that God, maybe the most clear and direct and powerful way that God transforms our mind, is through the Scriptures. Because listen, we live in a world that pretty much has ignored God for many, many years. And it's getting further and further and further away. I just read this little statistic. You know how, have you heard this, that Christianity is on a decline in the world? Have you heard that? It's a lie. It's not. Christianity is not on a decline. It's actually on a rise. But it is on a decline in America. It is on a decline in the West. America, Europe, those types of countries like that. On the other hand, in Africa, in China, Christianity is skyrocketing. It's on a rise. And it's actually heading in the right direction. One of the ways in which we are transformed in the image of Christ is through the Scriptures. One of the ways that people are continuing to be saved is through the gospel of Jesus. And that can certainly be found in the Word. One of the best ways that we can avoid conformity to the world systems is by renewing our minds daily in the Scriptures. spiritual growth or transformation occurs as the Spirit of God works with the Word of God and transforms our lives into the image of the Son of God. If we are to know God, if we are to be godly, if we are to be righteous, if we are to be holy, we must know the Word of God, and we must know it intimately. But we must not know it legalistically. We don't read the Scriptures just so that we can know the words on this page. We read the Scriptures, why? So we can know the God who wrote the words. And we don't even stop there. We read this so that we can know the God who wrote the words, so that He can transform our lives and make us be more like Jesus. That's the end game. Reading the Bible itself is not the end. It's a means to an end. The end goal is to be more like Jesus, to be transformed in the image of Jesus. And someday this book right here is going to be meaningless, right? Someday this book, we're going to throw it out because we're not going to need it anymore, because we're going to have full access to Jesus Himself. So we're not going to need the little book. We're going to have the living book, the Word we sing about. But until then, I'm going to keep reading it. I'm going to keep reading it because I need to know more about Jesus, and I want to know more about Him every day. I hope you come along with me to do it. By the way, I'm not assuming here, and don't hear me say this, I'm not assuming that none of you guys are reading the Bible. Don't hear me say that. I know you guys are. I'm just encouraging us to continue in it. Continue in it. So, with all the vast resources that are available to us that we talked about, statistics and experience shows us that there's a great number of believers that hardly ever read the Bible. One study shows that there's a bunch of believers that know just a little bit more about the Bible than people that live in third world countries that don't have access to even a shred of Scripture. We may say that we want to read the Bible. We may say that we want to do that, but we spend no more time and we have no more working knowledge of it than people that have never even seen a Bible. Why is that? And this is the part I was saying, I might step on a little bit of your toes here, so hang with it for a minute. Because I can't remember the quote exactly, and I don't even want to take the time fully to think about it, but I heard a quote by R.C. Sproul the other day, and he says, like, the reason why we don't read the Bible is not because we don't have access, not because, you know, we don't even want to. The reason really it comes down to is, you know, we're just distracted. We're lazy, you know, to be honest. And I think maybe he's hit on something there. A disciplined interaction with the Scriptures is one of the most transforming things that we can do, one of the most transforming spiritual devotions that we can do. And if we're not doing it, or if you are, but you want to grow in it, which all of us can always grow, let me suggest a few things. Okay? How do we interact with Scripture so we can allow the Holy Spirit to grow us spiritually? If that's you, if you want to do that, let me just give us a few suggestions. And you know, again, it's probably something, you probably heard all these before. It's just a reminder. It's nothing new here this morning. But let me give us four ways. I'll include myself because we all need to grow in this. So first, number one, how can we interact with Scripture? How can we grow in our desire to just interact with Scripture on a deeper level? The easiest and maybe the most common way is by hearing the Scripture, okay? By hearing. It's like what we're doing right now, okay? Pastor Will's Bible Church, it's a key part of our name, right? We want to incorporate the Bible into everything we do. So So anytime somebody gets up here to speak, we want the scripture to be the centerpiece of what we're talking about. And we go to Bible studies. Here we want the Bible to be part of that. So listening to the sermons being preached, you know, you get a podcast of one of your favorite preachers. Back in the day, you know, you might get a tape, or whatever. You listen to the radio. There's lots of ways that we can hear people teaching on the Bible, and you know, even listening to the Bible itself. Again, if you have a smartphone and you have the Bible app on your smartphone, if you download that, do you know that that'll read it to you? Do you know that it'll read that translation to you? If you didn't, it's a cool feature. Just get on there and it'll just push the audio button, and you can plug that into your car on your commutes. You can, instead of, you know, listening to maybe the radio or something, you can listen to the Bible just being read. Just plug in, you know, Genesis 1 and just go for it. And just listen as you're driving. Let the scriptures come into your ears. Don't ever make light of the importance of just hearing the scriptures being read. I actually was talking to somebody a while ago. I don't remember who it was. And they were talking about, you know, I don't really read the Bible a ton, but I'm listening to it a lot. Does that count? Like, actually, I was like, does that count? I'm like, yeah, it counts. What do you mean? Yes, it counts. Hearing the Word of God, I mean, that's a great thing. What a advantage we have, again, that people haven't really had until pretty recently, right? That we could hear the Scripture being read to us. What a cool thing. Another time where you might do this, it's the end of the day, you're like, oh, I really wanted to get into the Word today, and I just haven't had time. And you start to, has this ever happened to you? You start to read, and you're like, you know, like you're getting tired, and your eyes are shutting, and I can't really focus on that. Well, there may be a spiritual something going on there, and if that happens all the time, you may want to get, you know, talk to somebody about that. But it may be just you're tired, all right? It could just be you're tired, long day, whatever, tired, and you can't like focus, you can't stay awake. Well, you could, like, again, you could put on the audio, and you could follow along if you want, or just listen. It's important. Jesus said this regarding hearing. He said, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So listen, the point of listening to God's word, whether it's listening to the scriptures themselves or listening to somebody teach about the scriptures, the ultimate point of that is to obey, to do what we hear, to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, right? It's not passive listening. It's active, and we need to be engaged with that. Okay, the second way we can engage with God's word is through consistent reading, okay? Consistent reading. And here's what I mean. Consistent reading of the Bible gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to impress upon our minds and impress upon our hearts truths that are accessible to us. And maybe at a certain period of time, like we talked about a minute ago, at a certain period of time, he might impress upon a certain truth that 5 years ago or a year ago, it wouldn't have made much difference. But now it's like, man, I love that. So keep reading. In addition, reading the scripture, having a specific plan where you read through large parts of the scripture gives us a chance to read the whole thing. And remember that verse, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable? So if that's true, shouldn't we at least, you know, read through the whole thing? Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, people do not live on bread alone. Have you heard this one? People do not live on bread alone, but what? By every word. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the implication here certainly is that every word is important, at least for us to read it. I have opportunity to talk to people all the time about stuff like this, and it surprises me sometimes when you talk to somebody who's been a Christian for many years that's never read the whole Bible. And I don't like, it's not judging or anything like that. It's just, it's like, man, you're missing out. You're missing out on I mean, I know there's parts of it's harder than others. I get it. But we got to be readers of the Bible. And now, if you struggle with this, and I know some of you do, I know some of us struggle with reading. I told you a minute ago, I confess that I used to be one of those. I used to really have a hard time just reading the Bible. And I know some of you maybe are like that as well. If that's you, I would love to help with that if I can. Just come and talk to me. I'd love to help. And I don't just say that pastorally. I really would love to talk to you about that and find a way that we can help you get into God's Word. In the meantime, here's just a few practical suggestions that I can give you. Okay, practical things to better your chances for success. Okay, so if you're struggling, here's a couple things that may help. Find a good plan. Don't be like January 1st, I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm just going to go read through the Bible in a year. Don't get locked into something like that. If that doesn't work for you, don't get locked into it. Because if you're one of those that you're like, I love Genesis, I'm going to get through that. I'm blazing through Genesis. And Exodus, man, I love Moses and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, you start to hit that part that you don't understand, and it's all about the, like, sores on people's bodies and, you know, sacrifices and stuff. Like, I don't even understand what they're talking about. Like, I don't want to read this anymore, and then you quit, right? Maybe you've done that, maybe not, I don't know. If don't get locked in, like, you figure you've got to, like, dude, that's the only plan in the world if you want to read the Bible. There's plenty of great Bible reading plans out there. Just find one that works for you, okay? And again, if you need some guidance on that, come and talk to me. We'll find something that works for you. So find a good plan, find the right time. Don't believe the lie that the only time you can read the Bible is you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, and spend an hour reading the Bible, right? Because that may not be you. Like, it's not me. That's not my time. I'm not a morning guy. Like, if I got to get somewhere at 8 o'clock, I'm going to get up at like 7:37 and like just enough time to get to that place. Like, it's hard for me to kind of function in the morning so much. And if you're like that, maybe, you know, the evening is the better time. Just find the right time, though. Okay, find the right time. Don't get locked in and just, I got to do it at this time. Find a time that works for you where you can have a little time for yourself. And a third little practical suggestion is get some accountability. Okay? If you have a pattern of starting and stopping, and you can't really get consistent with it, find some people that can help you. Get some accountability, one or two people that are going to check up on you and say, hey, you know, how you doing with your Bible reading? That really does help, because then you got to either lie to them, right, and say, I'm doing really good when you're not, or, you know, you got to confess, I need some help, you know, and that can help. So don't be afraid of that. And then the final thing here, little help, is look to apply the Scripture every time you read it. Because here's the thing, like, if you're just reading the Bible and it's not really doing anything, you're just kind of reading, and you're like, I know I'm supposed to read, but just nothing's happening. Okay, well, you might lose a little hope. But if you're reading and you're obeying and you're applying the Scripture, and all of a sudden your life is beginning to change, and you're getting a little, you're feeling like you're walking a little closer with the Lord, well, that's going to encourage you and spur you on and help you to read a little bit more. Okay, I gotta keep going here. I gotta quit talking. I'm too excited about this. A third way to engage with the Scripture is through study. Okay, and that's the S we've been talking about all morning. How do we study Scripture? What does even that mean? I came across a really cool illustration. Can I share it with you guys? Be like this: if reading the Bible is like jumping in a speedboat, right? You get out on the lake in the speedboat and you're just cruising. You know, through on the speedboat, you're cruising, and you can get fast. You can get where you want to go fast, but you're just on the level, the surface level of the water, right? You're cruising in this speedboat. That could be like reading the Scripture. Studying the Scripture would be on that same lake, but you're in a different kind of boat. You're in a cruising kind of boat. Maybe it even has a glass bottom, and you can get in there and you can look down through the glass bottom of the boat, and instead of just speeding right across the lake, you're taking your time, and you're going a little bit slower, and you're looking down into the depth of the lake, right? That's study. Reading is maybe just reading, just like you would. Study is digging in, stopping, taking a little bit of time. And you can do this by yourself. You can do it in a group. Either way, both have benefits. Both should be ongoing part of a believer's life. We have a lot of opportunities here to study the Bible together. We've got Bible studies going on for women and youth and men and home groups going on. And if you want to be a part, if you're not a part of one of those and you want to be a part of it, well, you know, find somebody to talk to. Hey, I want to get involved with a Bible study. Great, let's find a time that works. And if there's not one, we can work with that and try to find something that works in your schedule. Remember that Bible study, though, it's not an end in itself. Okay? It's a means to an end. Our goal is to not just know what the Bible says, but it's to know God intimately. You know, otherwise, we're just, you know, Pharisees and legalists. And Jesus had some pretty bad words to say to those types of people. And I don't want to be one of those, okay? A fourth way to engage, this last one, with God's Word is through memorizing it. And listen, make no mistake, I know memorizing stuff's hard. The older you get, the harder it gets. I know it is. When I was in school, I took a Greek class, man, and I had to memorize. It was something like 800 vocabulary words, and there's all that. I was like, oh, man, it's hard. It's hard to memorize anything except song lyrics, right? Those are easier. Like, it was like the Bible into a song. That's why, you know, the kids' songs, when we sing our little kids, we can still remember them. They're so cool. Easy. Like, I have so many 80s song lyrics in my head. It's like, get out of there. I gotta get the Bible in there, I guess. All right. Good for karaoke, though, but no. Memorizing the Bible takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, and it's even going to take a lot of self-sacrifice. But listen, what if some rich philanthropist came and said, hey, for every Bible verse you memorize this week, I'll give you $1,000. Would that change your philosophy on memorizing the Bible? Would that change your desire to memorize the Bible? And, you know, a lot, you guys are like being good Christians. You're like, no way, that wouldn't change me at all. But no, it would, right? It would. You'd be like, I'll memorize the whole thing, right? I want to be like $1,000. But listen, Scripture promises over and over and over and over and over again that God's words are far more important than anything on this earth. That heavenly things are way more important than material things. And so memorize. I know it's hard, but let me just give us three quick things. And if you want to memorize, let me give you three quick pointers or three reasons why memorization is practical. Number one, it strengthens our faith, strengthens our ministries. Number two, it supplies us with spiritual guidance and power. You know, probably the poster verse for memorizing is Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. Right? So it helps us there. And then memorization allows us to store up God's word in our minds so that it'll be available to us when we need it. Maybe you're talking to somebody, and you know you don't really have your Bible with you, but you've memorized a few verses, and the Holy Spirit might bring those to your mind at just the right time, and you have a chance to minister to somebody. It's important. All right, so as we wrap this up right here, I just want to say this, that right now you may be a little bit overwhelmed or intimidated by what we've been talking about today. You may be thinking, I wish you would just shut up and let me go to lunch because this is hard. I don't want to hear it anymore. If you want to, though, in all seriousness, if you want to engage with Scripture more than you are now, wherever you're at now, maybe you're not doing anything, or maybe, you know, you're spending hours a day. I don't know where you're at on that spectrum this morning, but wherever you're at, if you want to grow a little bit more in this specific devotion, maybe you want to read the Bible more. Maybe you're reading it a lot and you want to get involved in a Bible study. Maybe you're already doing both those things, but you want to get a little bit more involved with memorizing. Wherever you're at today, you may be thinking, where am I going to find the time to do this? It's a big deal with people. I get it. I know it is. We're busy. We're super busy. If we want to grow, though, in our devotion to the Word of God, we have to set some priorities. And that's true for any of these things. It's gone now, but you saw it there. Any of these devotions, right? But if we want to grow in them, we're going to have to set some priorities in our lives. And we will always do the things that are important to us. We're always going to find time to do the things that are important to us. So if reading and studying and memorizing Scripture is important to us, we're going to find time to do it. We're going to make time to do it. You know, we're going to give up something, maybe sleep or Netflix or Facebook or something. We're going to give up something in order to get more time for this. And I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you're like at the peak right now, and that's great. If we believe, though, that consistent study of the Scripture is important, then we will make time not just to study it, but to obey it and to live it out, to apply it to our lives so that we can live the way that God wants us to live, to be more like Jesus. And so if you're struggling with this, ask for some help and start with asking God for help. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me. I want to do this. I have a desire to do this. Help me. Help me, help me, help me. Just keep asking for His help, and He will help you. Help to reprioritize your life, maybe. Help to be more devoted to Scripture. Help to apply His Word more to your life. Whatever it is, that we will continue to grow in the likeness of Jesus. Okay? Next week, we're going to move on to the intercession and prayer. And as important as today's message was, next week is probably as important. Okay? Prayer and Scripture. Look forward to that, talking about that with you guys next week. Let's pray together. And I guess the worship team, you want another song? Come on up. Father God, we just we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you that you didn't leave us by ourselves. You gave us a Scripture to help us, guide us, to know what we need to do, to know how you want us to live, to know the best way that we can glorify you and serve you, how we can worship you. All that's found in the Scripture, and I just pray that before we go seeking other stuff, right? And it's okay, God, I believe it's okay to seek prophecy and healing and miracles, those types of things. You still do those things, I know you do. But before we go seeking all that other stuff, we really, really need to devote ourselves to the stuff you've already told us to do. What is your will for our lives? Well, the Scripture reveals that to us. And my desire for all of us today is that we will spend time with you. I know it does take time. It takes effort. It takes devotion. It takes discipline, all those things. And so, Holy Spirit, help us with that. Help us be more devoted to the Scriptures and to be more devoted to you, to live and obey the way that you want us to live and to do the things you want us to do, not just to be hearers or readers only, but to be doers of your word. to live it out. Let it change our lives. We don't want to be legalistic. We don't want to be Pharisees. But we want to walk with you. We want to be led and guided by you. And so we'd ask for this mercy this morning for all of us here. Amen.